This morning, as we get started in our sermon this morning, entitled Soaring with a Bunch of Turkeys. Soaring with a Bunch of Turkeys. In our reading verse coming from 1 Corinthians 15 and 58, we see that it says that, therefore, my brethren, beloved, be steadfast and unmovable in the faith. Stand your ground in the faith, always abounding in doing God's work, in the work of the Lord. In other words, whatever you may do around the sanctuary, out in the world, whether it be the workplace or shopping, in your home or whatever, or wherever it is, that your labor is not in vain. You may not see the results of that labor. You may not see the end of that, just like Christ didn't see the end when he was on the cross, but he knew of the glory that would come, of what would come of that death on the cross, that when he said it is finished, may not have been a multitude around him at the time looking and saying glory be to God. But look at it today. Look at the resulting end of that work. And that's what we want to look at this morning is Josiah. Out of 1 Kings, the 23rd chapter. And a lot of people say, well, they're preaching this from a wrong context. I'm not too enthused with the churches of today. I'm more or less seeing the spirit of Antichrist in the churches. I see or hear more or less preachers preaching from text and making applications that pale in comparison of what that text seems to be bringing out. And I know there's differences among us. There'd be differences among all preachers, and there's a difference. They may vary. But the word should be the same. The word should be the same. I'm going to look at this regeneration. Regeneration. This reformation of Josiah, when he started. If we have a reformation, and everybody entitled this as a revival, and it wasn't a revival, it wasn't close to a revival. A revival is bringing something back to life spiritually. But these people were spiritually dead. They were removed from God. The prophecy went forth in the chapter preceding this one from Huldah had said that Josiah would be saved and delivered in a time of peace. In other words, that he wouldn't see what was coming up on it. But so far as this people, Judah, that they was going to perish and that he was going to send them into captivity. But yet and still, of all the sermons I've heard on this, most preachers preach it if we were to have a revival as in the days of Josiah. And believe me, I would want to see the work that was accomplished during the days of Josiah. But it was a bunch of turkeys he was working with, just as today it's a bunch of turkeys that's in the church. Josiah was soaring as an eagle, even though the weight of the people were hindering the work that was going on. It didn't highlight the work that was going on because it was a bunch of turkeys. These preachers apparently hadn't read Jeremiah. The see that these was idolaters, these was false prophets, these was pastors that knew not God. And that Josiah, he went to work after, that was before he even received the finding of the law book, that he had been doing this work. He started work 12 years, had been doing this work ever since he was young. When he was 16, he determined to seek the Lord. And he started temple repairs or whatever. And it was about the 18th year before he even found this book of the law. But the Reformation had begun. Doesn't take a genius to see paganism in the world. It's more people, and that's why a lot of my, let me say that I see God in the world, that I see God in lost people, and I can see why God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. These are sheep, these are people that don't even know God and are willing to stand up to people that are supposedly God. to say that this is right and this is not right. That's what I'm looking at. The world that does not claim no God, as the Gentiles, he said, that they don't even have didn't have the book of the law, but they acted better than the people that supposedly had God's law. That's why he was wiping them off the map. It wasn't a chance for them. He was tired of making covenants with them. He was tired of renewing the covenant with them because they were liars, and the fathers was liars, and it was a generation of liars. So as we read chapter 23, verse 1, and the king sent and gathered unto him all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. And the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And the priest, the prophets, and all the people, both small and great. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant, which was found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all their heart and all their soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in the book. And all the people stood to the covenant. The harvest indeed is ripe, but as in Jesus' time, he says, he prayed the Lord of the harvest that he would send more laborers into the field, more workers into the field, because it's not enough laborers to bring in the harvest and to lead the harvest, because these elders and covenant and people that he was reestablishing or remaking this covenant with, they should have knew the law. They should have been the ones teaching the law. Just as in this state, one of the most corrupt states in the union of the 50 states, with its corrupt governor, its corrupt legislatures, its corrupt ministers and churches. And it was an article in the paper the other day about how many percentage of the people in Louisiana are Christians. And in an editorial, I read a lot of the editorials because there you see letters from people within the state, from just everyday people. One of the letters was saying, how do you know who's Christian? Let's just say that they say that there are more Christians here. How many Christians are here? And I felt that was a good letter, because it's more people in Louisiana and call themselves Christian in name that's more like the people of this time, of Josiah's time, the people that will be destroyed. The majority of the people that say that they're Christian in Louisiana are perish. They are lost people. They are not followers of God. They are ones that, like in Josiah's time, that renewed and made the covenant and worked, but their labor was in vain. That these are the people that Jesus would tell, I never knew you. These are the people that go do the work of the Lord, that's going to cast out devils, that's going to feed the needy, and they have a form of godliness, but no, not God. That's the greatest percentage of Louisianans that call themselves Christian. And as a whole, seems as though, as a nation, that's the greater number. And I learned a whole lot of that during this primary, during the past year, that the Christians are the ones that's bringing the judgment of God upon the nation. That's the one that's bringing the judgment of God, because that's the hypocrites. Those are the hypocrites. So, as we go on in this, looking at this, like I said, these same people, and you've heard of a motif. Well, a motif is a way of writing, a style of writing, a story, a theme that's used in a story. If we see this, this has been used before. It was used during the time of Hezekiah. So we have to also identify with the scholars, some of the great commentaries, the people that talk about the Bible and say this and say that, because not that these people are pagan or these people. We have to consider all men, that God can speak to anyone. Just because they're not in the church doesn't mean that God's not talking to them. And a lot of this we see where they say the motif here they used over again about renewing the covenant, about cleaning out the house of God, taking all away all of the stuff that was pagan. And you remember Hezekiah did that. You remember Joash did that. So that motive has been used throughout the Bible about a reformation or a cleansing or renewing the covenant, because Hezekiah renewed the covenant with him. That's why I say God had got tired of renewing that covenant with them. That the law was weak through the flesh because they couldn't keep it, just as the state, the people in this state now. It's not a covenant. It's a covenant with death, because that's the cup that they are drinking of, because it's religious hypocrisy. It's antichrist. That's why I told you the writer, Ian Wright, said she was leaving Christianity. She wasn't leaving Christ, because those that have sense see that in Christianity, the antichrist lies there. The antichrist is preaching and teaching in Christianity. That's what has arisen in that religion. And we see it in this nation and in this state that it's anti-God. That's why God loved the world, because the world had loved God. The Gentiles, that's why they became, they said the Gentiles would carry forth. He gave this to the Gentiles and rejected the Jews of that time, because they were hung up on themselves, as this nation and this state is today, hung up on themselves, thinking that to their person being Christian makes them something, just like Israel and Judah did, thinking that being the seed of Abraham, being physical, was something, but it was spiritual in nature. It was in the heart. These people had a heart problem, and it wasn't physical Israel. It wasn't the physical church God made the promise to. It was those of the seed of Abraham, those of faith. Josiah was lacking. Josiah loved the law, but Josiah wasn't born again. The people that were following Josiah was the Pharisees of that day. They were Pharisees just like during the time of Jesus. They were Pharisees just like the parties that are in power today, Democrat and Republican. There's no difference in the two. There may be some within the parties that are ignorant of what's going on. Those God's calling out, but he has them within those places for a reason or a purpose. And the Pharisees also joins in during time of religious reformation, because it's profitable. That's why most Christians would say in Louisiana and throughout the United States say they're Christians, because it's one of the most profitable things to do today. It's Christianity. And John the Baptist addressed this when they came to him for baptism. He said, but when he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, who had warned you, O generation of vipers? Who had warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth fruit meets for repentance. In other words, bring works. Bring a life that shows repentance, that comes up to the standard of repentance. It didn't happen during Josiah's Reformation. It didn't happen during Josiah's Reformation. It's not going to happen today. It's not going to happen today. That's not, nowhere in the Bible speaks of an end day, latter day great revival. It speaks of the people of God getting stronger, but that's a remnant of the people. It's not a great worldwide revival. It says the nations and plurality of that nations shall go into apostasy. There's no one chosen nation in the world. That's going to be the downfall of this nation, thinking it's the one chosen nation of the world. That's why he told them during his day, he can raise up those stones as sons of Abraham to praise him if they didn't cry out. The people now hadn't did as Josiah did, rendered their garments. When Josiah rendered his garment, that was a form of us rending our hearts, tearing our hearts, pulling out, allowing God to take out that old heart and do a circumcision and give us a new heart with his laws written in it. That's why I said of Jeremiah, if Josiah would have been under the prophecy, with under Jeremiah, under some of his preaching, under some of what the priests should have had, the knowledge that they should have had, he'll see that's why Jeremiah didn't fool with the people. Because he had grew up around the people, and he even thought it was so frustrating. He said, Lord, why did you deceive me? He felt deceived and frustrated because he was his uncles and relatives, all of them within this kingly line that was corrupt. He had become rejected by his people because his people were corrupt. That's why they didn't go to Jeremiah. They went to a woman. All these people were kin to Jeremiah. But they didn't seek him because he was going to tell them the truth that you got a heart problem. We see in chapter 31 of Jeremiah where he speaks of that God forming a new covenant with man. That was the New Testament covenant that Jesus Christ made. That was the covenant where he made a circumcision of the heart to give us a new heart. That's why Paul spoke of, he that is a Jew is not a Jew outwardly, but is one of the heart. You have to be circumcised in heart. These people had a heart problem. The Reformation was a failure. It got the work done. But works before God, all our works are as filthy rags. All our rights, all that we can do. The only time the work is finished, and that's what Jesus Christ did, it was spiritual. He did it where it was be done in earth. It was upon us to bring it out upon earth. But it was done in earth as he shed his blood. It was done spiritual. He was that grain of wheat that fell that would bring forth a breed of people, a nation. It would bring forth the church, that kernel of wheat that died. It would bring forth the people that would do even greater works than he did. Greater in amount, in sum, not of content. So, we go do that greater works, the church will, but not the church as the world portrayed. Not the church as this nation or this state portrayed. But it's going to be the true church doing the work. We see where in verse 25 it says, and like unto him was there no king before him that turned to the Lord with all his heart and with all his soul. And with all his might, according to all the law of Moses, neither after him arose there any like him. Well, notice that same thing is said by Hezekiah. That's why God's words kind of has ambiguity to it. That's the thing is that if you're not reading, examining, Hezekiah turned to the Lord and he trusted God. We're to be as Hezekiah, trust God and have faith in God. And there's no other king that during that time, ever since then, trusted, I had confidence of faith in God as Hezekiah did. In Josiah's capacity as king, when it says there were none like him before or after, it doesn't move Hezekiah to the side, but it was a different type of king that it was speaking of. This was a king that turned to God's law with all of his heart, that he loved the law of God with all of his heart. That no king turned to the details of the law, examining the law. If you would look at the things that he did in here, they were by the law, as the law records in the book of Deuteronomy, as the law requires throughout the law. Whereas David, you remember when David was caught with Bathsheba and Nathan came to him and he says, what would happen to this man that took this sheep? And David had says that man shall be killed. That wasn't what the law required. David was given to emotions. David was given to passion. What that law required was that man pay fourfold. You see, that's the problem with the people in this state. In this nation, is that they read God as the Pharisees read and as the Pharisees do, but it's not in their heart. They're not true followers of God. they're followers of the laws of God, so they misapply God's law wherever they want it. They apply it where it don't apply to them. If you notice, this state and this nation, the Christians in this state and this nation are very corrupt, and the world sees that. That's why the world criticized the church. That's why God says, you caused my name to be blasphemed among the Gentiles. That's why he couldn't offer reprieve with this people. They were asked to church today because they misrepresenting what God stands for. They don't apply the truth unilaterally. They don't apply the word of God as the way God has said, apply the word of God. We have one senator here that was caught in prostitution. We have the chief administrator, the chief deputy next to the governor that were caught drunk driving. We have governmental corruption with the northern provinces in this state that's Catholic, mostly Catholic throughout. That's where all his re-election monies and things come from, all of these pagan institutes. That's the majority Christian that they're talking about, that if it would have been any other political party that was caught in prostitution, they would have said something. But these are like the Pharisees. The guy that was caught in prostitution, they didn't say anything to him. But if you would notice, they did just like the Pharisees. They wanted to charge this woman. I don't think she committed suicide, but they wanted to bring this woman to justice, they said. This madam, they wanted to bring her to justice, but not the senator that was caught in this prostitution, not him, no. We've had a representative of that same party here in Louisiana that resigned that were caught in prostitution. But it's nothing said about what they were going to do to the men. That party is chauvinistic. They've always been that way. All of the rights. That's why the nuns are touring the nation right now. Because their laws are unfair. The political party, the religious party, the Catholic Church, their laws are unfair. The Vatican issued a censure against one of the groups of nuns. They hadn't issued one against this group yet. But the nuns, the foot soldiers, the ones that are doing the work, saying that you're all against the poor, that you're all against those that Jesus embraced. See, some of the people here in which Josiah was reflecting on was going to be saved. Some of the people that he was impressing the law into was like Ezekiel. Ezekiel was doing a youth during this time, seeing Jeremiah prophesy and seeing the works of Josiah. So he knew who were corrupt and who wasn't corrupt, that the priesthood was corrupt, that the pastors and leaders of that time were politically corrupt. And your children see that now. So when you cover for that, that's why he says the enemy is going to be your own household. Unless you're as corrupt as some of these political leaders' children are, and that means you carry it out. Like Paul Ryan that went against this nun, and this nun was telling him, say, son, you misunderstand him. You don't understand the church's teachings, which he don't. He's a follower of Ayn Rand, anti-God, paganist, and that whole Republican Party. All of them follow that philosophy that's anti-God. They follow this lady, Ayn Rand. All of her readings and writings, the whole bunch of them. And they don't understand God, so therefore they're as the Pharisees misapply God's laws. You had a committee of 11 men talking about women's rights. Well, shouldn't it have been at least 15 or 20 women on that council instead of all men? You see, that's a corrupt party. That's why the orphanages and things were started. It's because of the preachers, the priests, sons and children and things that what they were having through the nuns and through the parishioners of the churches and the things that were going on in the Catholic Church. That's why a lot of the orphanages were started, because it was their children that they were trying to pay and cover up for and protect these women so that they wouldn't have to bear the burden for. It's totally corrupt now as it was then. And that's why it says, verse 26, notwithstanding, the Lord turned not from the fierceness of his great wrath, wherewith his anger was kindled against Judah, because of all the provocations that Manasseh had provoked him with them. he had provoked God further, the nation. He's not talking about the leader. A leader can't save you. None of the leaders could say. That's another problem with this nation, is they look to man and not to God. So it's not a leader that can save you. And the leader was only a reflection of what the nation was. As they're trying to have a veto session, which will be the first in maybe 60 years, they say, of this state, is because within the Democratic Party within this state is as of the president of LSU that resigned. I think his name was LaMonica or LaMotia. It starts with an L. I forgot his name, but he resigned a couple of months ago because he stood up to these people. If you see people in the legislature that stands up, there are certain men that stand up and they're saying what y'all are doing are not right. But most of them within the Democratic Party, most of them within the Republican Party, we don't have men leaders in none of those parties. And you let a spineless governor, as we have now, bully his way and threaten you to lose your job because it's all about the dollar. That they corrupt education. Education in this state, the oppressed, the widowless and the orphans, all these people, the widows and the orphans, all of the people that can do nothing for themselves, the one that God said that government should protect are the ones that's being oppressed. So it's anti-God. It may prosper for a while, but when it falls, it's going to be just like 9/11. You want the churches, everybody to pray. But the prayer should be that thy will be done. Because God has to punish the wicked and evil. He don't allow it to prosper and continue on. And that's why a lot of them doing it now, because they say that he's a Rhodes Scholar. He's a smart man. But see, God is not mocked. In that word, using that context, is God is not outfoxed. He's not outwitted. He's not outsmarted. You can't come in the church and display that you're something that you're not and outsmart God. God just allows you enough room. You're just a vessel that God uses. So we should pray for our governor. We should pray for our leaders. We should pray for our presidents. We should pray for them that God's will be done in their lives. We shouldn't be a part of it. We shouldn't vote for them. The ones that we vote for, we voting for the ideology. We voting for the intent, and God sees the intent of your heart. Why are you voting for who you voting for? That's what he's looking at. So he looked at the intent of these people's heart, just like he's looking at the intent of their hearts today. You can say it was for something else, to benefit something else, as Joseph's brother said to Joseph, and said what he did, he says what y'all done, you meant it for evil. Your voting, your works, and your action, even though it turned out good, you meant it, that wasn't the intent of your heart. And see, the Spirit searches the reins of the heart, the intents of the heart. Why did you do what you did? See, a lot of people do things to hurt you, even though God says all things works together for good for those that love the Lord. So what they're doing, we don't worry about those things, but we have to warn the congregations, we have to warn the people to not get involved in this, because those characters, your character can be fixed and fitted in. There shall be no repentance from some fixed and fitted in characters that you aim and you have a propensity to be destroyed. You will be as a brute beast, as he says, those that despise government, take government lightly. You're naturally brute. That's your makeup. You have a propensity for that. In the book of Exodus 34:7, he says, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty though. Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and fourth generation. That means your children's children's going to be cursed. Okay, now hold on, Pastor. Are you contradicting yourself? Because you said Ezekiel said the son shouldn't pay for the sins of the father. And the father shouldn't pay for the son. Right. But what if God takes his hand off you and don't allow you to make right decisions? That he don't correct your life, that he doesn't predestinate you for to become one of his chosen. That those mistakes and things you pay, says, by no means clearing the guilty, because your intentions are wrong. There's a difference about the world, and we see a lot of the reporters of people in the world that are sinners, but they are sinners that are like the one that was crying, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." They're different from the Pharisee who came and prayed that he's not like that sinner, that he does this and does that. So his sin remains with him because he's not admitting he's a sinner. See, so those that force morality, that force laws, which you can't legislate laws. That's what Josiah did. This was a forced covenant. These people were making this covenant because everybody else was, just like the Pharisees. They didn't want to be left out. This was just an insurance policy. Just in case this happens or that happens, we're covered. But that little cortisol in the will, it's also a cortisol in God's will, just like an insurance partner. In an insurance policy, you'll see that cortisol, and man tries to change that. It should read, barring any acts of God. Well, that's an act of God that he's going to step in and say, no, I'm not going to clear this one. Just as he had chose Jacob and he hated Esau because of Esau's propensity to despise his birthright. That's what this nation is. That's what this state is. They despise that which is good. They despise that they don't have mercy. They don't have heart. It's been proven that this governor don't have a heart. It's been proven that this man that's run for president, all of them, it's necessity says he don't have heart. He knows he don't have heart. He can't relate to people. This is the one, this governor has sold this state out to, he's prostituted it out to every corporation that has come along. No taxes, no anything, no at all. You can rob and pillage the state. They removed the Steli plan, which was helping the state's revenues. And Vic Steli resigned from the Board of Education the other day because they're cutting that again. Vic Steli is a man. They had some men that on that board when LSU's president. They said, well, this is not right. They stood up. God's taking account. Their labor is not in vain. God's going to vindicate them just like he vindicated Jeremiah and he vindicated Ezekiel. It may not be now. It may be like Naboth. We see that the government, Jezebel, crucified, killed Naboth, but God vindicated Naboth by taking Jezebel, didn't he? You might not see it. See, this nation, this state operates off what they can see, not by faith. See, it's money that they're looking at. They'll rob education. There's a multi-billionaire in this state, Tom Benson, that owned the Saints and the Hornets. This man, we giving more tax breaks to him and to those multimillionaires that play for him than we are to the children that are being educated and to the educators who are educating those children. We remove restraints to keep from firing our professors. We remove restraints from keep from our teachers having a tenured job. All those is for private industry. That's why all of the charter schools are coming out. It's corruption. That corruption is in your everyday life. You're not looking at it from a religious point of view. That's why I told you religion has something to do with everything in your life. You can't separate the two, even though there's a separation in the Constitution of the United States because the founding fathers put it there so that one day that this gospel could be preached. Because if it was forced, then you would have it as it is in this state and in this nation, is that anybody can join in. And God's church is not like that. The Spirit saves such as they could be saved. Those that could be saved, either that one baptism of the Spirit into the church is by the Spirit. You can't do it. It's not by the will of man. I don't care how much you want to be in the church. I don't care how much you want to serve God. Unless God places you in the body of Christ, your labor is in vain. Without the Spirit, you can do nothing. Judas was one of the apostles, but he didn't have the Spirit. He didn't receive the Spirit. He was chosen to do a work. He went about with the others preaching. When he sent them out two by two, he was just like the nation, as this state, put him in charge of the money. But ultimately, God's will could be done. So you shouldn't worry about what's going to happen. Don't get so tied up politically whether this party or what party wins. I don't care what party wins. I'm just telling you the mechanics of what you're going for, that your character is being formed even in that. Even the thing that you're doing on this earth is forming your character. You better know why you do everything. And that comes from an understanding of God. You have to get wisdom and understanding from God to do anything. And anything you do is not of faith, it's sin. Josiah didn't have an instructor. He wasn't listening at Jeremiah. It was as the leaders in that time, it was 2 Kings 11 chapter in the 14th verse. 2 Kings 11 chapter in the 14th verse. And when she looked, behold, the king stood by a pillar as the manner was, and the princes and the trumpeters by the king, and all the people of the land rejoiced and blew with trumpets, and Athaliah rent her clothes and cried, treason, treason. Verse 20, and all the people of the land rejoiced, and the city was quiet, and they slew Athaliah. The reason the people of the land rejoices when they remove one political leader, replace it with another, it says the people of the land. Those were the people with wealth. Those were the people with material things to gain. They saw this as an opportunity for them to prosper. That's why I told you with education reform in the state, it has made the state worse. There was an article in last week's paper. This association is known throughout the world of grading academic institutions. It graded Louisiana, I think, 50th among 50 states of the way they treat their professors and faculty. You dead last, buddy. In other words, you don't treat your help right. You don't treat, you know, the Lord of Sabaoth, if you're reading James, he's God over the laborers. God's looking at those that's withholding the pay, that's taking people's standard of living away. The people in Louisiana, the people in the United States, they said they don't care if they, in other words, this is the statement, because they're not looking at this person as a person. They looked at Bill Clinton as a person and said character matters. So we're looking at two men here. One is now and one trying to come. They believe corporations are people. That's their statement. In other words, we could do more for corporations than we do for the actual people. The people of the land, when it says the people of the land, just as in Josiah's day, these were the wealthier people contributing to the reform because they were set with physical blessings. And Josiah's reformation was pushing into Assyrian territory where God had given it to Assyria to displace Israel. Josiah's reformation, the reform, pushed throughout up into Israel, northern Israel. Just like I tell you, this governor took northern Louisiana. It was taking the land. That reformation expanded beyond Jerusalem or beyond Judah. So the religious people seen opportunity for them to gain. For them to gain more land, more wealth. That's the reason they were taking part in the reformation. It wasn't because they loved God. That was a ruse. Jeremiah speaks of these rules. Ezekiel speaks of these rules. That's why God says he still wasn't going to relent. That's what this nation is. The people that's talking about education reform, they said that you don't, to be a charter school teacher, you don't need to be certified. Whereas that was the reason they were firing teachers in the state level because of teacher certification. One teacher said last night, well, what happens? You receive the money from the from this taxpayer, and you take it to a charter school, and then the charter school throw that child out because they don't want to take care of this child. And they still keep the money. It's a transfer of the wealth they are stealing. That's why they wanted to sell the prison so they could be operated by private industry, so that the government couldn't stand up and say, well, you have to pay these people a decent living wage. You have to give these people medical benefit. You have to treat them as people. That's why the people that want less government are the people with money. They are people of the land. They are people like Romney with money and don't care. The people that went along with that the first time, a lot of them, the reason they're petitioning now is that it happened to him. And it's going to happen to the ones in Louisiana. They don't care about the people. They care about self. You can't be religious and care about self. You have to deny self. So they're not thinking about sharing a one nation in unity. As is during that time, it was a cultural divide, same as is today. So that's why the privatization of everything is to put it in the hand of wealthy people that don't believe in that, for the church to make tax incentive where that harlot can hide. The church is portrayed as one of the greatest and the most corrupt. That's why in Revelation, Jesus was saying he's going to fight against the churches. That has become corrupt. But the thing about it, just as then, that covenant was a covenant of death. Those in this state, in this nation that's saying they are Christian, if they read Jeremiah thoroughly, they'll see that that's the cup of wrath that they drink. That's a cup of wrath that he said the whole world was going to drink out of. It's going to be a cup of cursings and not of blessings, because it was voluntary. They volunteered and spoke this covenant. They volunteered. That's why a lot of people say, I can't join the church. I can't do this. See, they doubtful in themselves. And a lot of those, the one God's going to save. But the ones that are volunteering are coming in the church as Judas was. They came of them own selves and said that they would abide by the covenant, in which they didn't know their heart was wrong. Judas knew he was corrupt. He knew he was going to betray the Lord. He didn't ever say, well, Lord, I got a problem. I'm thinking about turning on you. See, these people, their hearts are not with God. So the problem was a heart problem. The problem with these people was a heart problem. That's why I say this had gotten deeper than I thought it was. I thought I was going to breeze through this chapter. But it's not going to breeze through it the way I thought I was. See, because Josiah, being young and malleable, in other words, he was instructed by these people from his youth. The high priest, which didn't know the Bible apparently, and we will read a study about it next week. That's why Jeremiah says the lying scribe by the pen of the lying scribes. Because these law books are called into question by some writers. I think it's the word of God. But also what we have to look at is that we're talking about a corrupt political system, as we have in the state and in the nation. We're talking about a corrupt religious system, as we have in the state and the nation. So with both of them corrupt, it's going to be as the scripture you read, it's going to come a time when the just going to have to live by faith. It might mean your death, because if you don't take the mark of the beast, if you don't get in with them, it's going to mean destruction. So Josiah was being formed by the people around him. So he thought, since he had the law, that he was walking in the law, but you need a heart to walk in the law. That's where the law is weak, is through the flesh. It doesn't give you empathy for man. See, David, and they speak a lot about David as king, but that's why he couldn't build the house of God. He was a man of blood. See, you have to have, that's why Jesus Christ came and he personified what God was. See, as the world sees the church, the world sees the law, that the church is cold-hearted and callous and don't care about people. And that's what I've seen throughout this primary. throughout this election cycle. That's what I've been seeing in the world, that God is not the way the churches portray God. Most churches are wrong, especially here in America. That this is a Western religion built on get, rugged individualism, and every man pull himself up by his own bootstrap, which is an oxymoron. This is not an Eastern religion that God had sent, that God had brought. This is the other Jesus being preached that Paul said that was going to be preached. So Josiah came up thinking that by this the law, but he didn't have empathy for people. And that's bad when you can't identify. Romney can't identify with people because he's not human. He doesn't have a heart. Our governor doesn't have a heart. He's smart, but it's the wisdom of this world. Romney know how to make money, but that's satanic. In other words, that's the wisdom of this world. That's why Solomon had, and he wrote Ecclesiastes, he seen it as all vanity and vexation of spirit, because Solomon was of this world. That seed, that line that Solomon was in, that's not the Davidic line that inherited that Jesus Christ came through. Solomon line was cursed through Jeconiah. Jeremiah speaks of that. Conan, that line was cursed. The kingship came through Nathan's line. That was David's other son. That's where it came through, because this side couldn't empathize with it. That's why the removal of the law, because it was weak through the flesh. The law is holy and just. What a lot of the people are saying are correct on its face. If you look prima facie, first look at it, in other words, it's a law term, prima facie. But if you examine it, the premise on which it is built, it doesn't operate with the spirit involved. Jesus, they say, who can forgive sin? See, Jesus had the spirit of God. The spirit of God empathizes with man. It loves man. That's why the Sabbath was given for man. Man made for man, not for itself. See, God's primary purpose in love is of man. So this guy, these two guys, the governor and this guy that's running for president, their ideals and their theology is shaped by what man thinks. They will go with what's popular, and popular from a religious view, and that's satanic. This guy that's running for president, he's not going to be able to make up his mind what to do, as they tell you now. He has to please the constituents. It's other people that has to tell him what to do. He's not a real man. He doesn't have a spine. That's not a leader. It's none of these are leaders that you would inspire to. All these are puppet leaders, both of them. So what you have to do is look at the Reformation, what it accomplished. What it accomplished was showing the finality of God's law, and that your labor is not in vain, as we read in 1 Corinthians. There is a reason and a purpose why God lays foundations. Just like they rejected Jesus Christ, and he was the chief cornerstone. That's why they rejected Paul. They rejected any teachings of Christ. So the fallacy that they have going is that they're accepted by God. But the world can see this ruse. It's the elect of God that's going to have to dispel the ruse. Because Josiah's Reformation took care of that outside the church. Now we need something to work in the church. That's when he sent his angels, his messengers, because he's going to allow the wheat and tare to grow together. But in the end, he's going to send his messengers to root out all that, because they could distinguish among them. And you will see preachers and leaders and everything else rooted out. So we'll finish this next week. And like I said, preaching is not just going way off on and making you feel good at all. It gives you something to chew on. It gives you something to meditate on. See, that's what the word of God should be. Just like a cow eating, and he sits down. Well, all through the day, what that cow is, he has several stomachs. It's ruminating that. It takes it, it moves it to this stomach, and that stomach grinds it up and assimilates it and moves it to another stomach. All through that, it turning it into a liquid nutrient in which the body can use. The Word of God, we should meditate on it day and night. It should go into us as we thinking on that. That Word should convert us and give us eternal life, spiritual life. It should give us spiritual. The words He speaks, He say they are spirit and they are life. To some people, they're just words. But if we meditate on them, they are alive. That Bible is just alive. And it gives you everlasting life. It gives you a boldness. But we can see also that you can receive a false boldness. You can receive a false bravado in which Josiah received, and it caused him his death. Because you also have to get wisdom and understanding. That's why he put the fivefold ministry in the churches. It was set up on apostles, prophets, teachers. All these things edified for the perfecting of the body of Christ. We have to fine-tune this thing as a machine. We have to fine-tune the body of Christ. And it doesn't come overnight. The Reformation didn't come overnight. Luther's Reformation didn't come overnight. But it not necessarily all spiritual, because what came out of the Reformation was the Protestant churches, which now are more corrupt than their mother of harlots, the Catholic Church. So we have to be careful. Paul says, a wise master, Billy says, be careful how you build. Be careful how you build. If you're building with wood, stubble, and hay, your works could be burned. And you may be saved, but your works could be burned. All of Josiah's works were burned. That whole temple came down. That whole temple was destroyed. Even during the Pharisees' time, that whole temple came down. It was burned. But now remember, the temple that you're building this time, your body is that temple. I don't know. Watch it. Your body is the temple. Be careful with your body and what you do with your body. Heavenly Father, as we come before you this day, Lord God, strengthen us through your word, Lord God. Let your word go home to our heart, Lord. Let it help us, Lord God, to do those things that are pleasing unto you, Lord God, that we lean not to our own understanding, but depend on you and become as a little child, Lord God, that we praise you and praise your word, Lord God, and worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.